Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal.
About 2 weeks ago, we noted one of the most important anniversaries in our church history. It was on September 21st, 1823, when the angel Moroni first appeared to the young prophet Joseph Smith in his farm home near Palmyra, New York. As we remember it today, we declare our solemn testimony to all mankind that indeed Moroni did come. It is a fact, a firm and unshakable truth. Moroni came as an angel of God, a messenger from heaven. This glorious personage visited Joseph Smith in physical reality. It was no dream nor any kind of mystic occurrence. It was a visitation. Two physical beings commune together with Moroni, a resurrected person of flesh and bones, emerging from the eternal veil and paying repeated and never-to-be-forgotten visits to this mortal farm boy, Joseph Smith.
It's Mark Peterson, member of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, talking about an event that allegedly occurred 187 years ago on September 21st, Joseph Smith receiving the Book of Mormon, a revelation from the angel Moroni. He says it's an unshakable fact that Moroni appeared to him. Is that true? Joining us to talk about this alleged event, Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn. She is co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. And, this is an interesting anniversary for the Mormon Church, especially because the accounts of Joseph Smith's first vision, the revelation by the angel Moroni, have differed over the entire more than 125 years history of the church, and certainly even in Joseph Smith's own lifetime. The first mention we have of it is some 20-some years after it supposedly happened, published in 1842. And yet you compare that with Christianity, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you have, for example, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3, the ancient creed of the church, the resurrection, what Paul learned, and that can be dated back to within 18 months of the actual occurrence of the resurrection. There were people around at the time who could dispute it, who could disprove it. The apostles certainly had a hard challenge ahead of them if they were making it up. Not so for Joseph Smith, who was known in his neighborhood for making things up for many years and had no proof of this vision and certainly changed his story many times.
So someone might say, look, angels appeared to individuals in the Old and New Testament. Why not in the latter days to Joseph Smith?
Well, I would answer two ways. First of all, also false angels are represented. They're called demons in the Bible or evil spirits. And so just because you have a supernatural encounter doesn't mean that it's from God, doesn't mean that it's true. They have to be tested. In the Old Testament, we have at least two tests for a true prophet, which an angel as a messenger of God would be a prophet. The first is that they bring the true God. Well, Mormonism doesn't, diverges from historic Christian Orthodox theology as represented in the Bible in many significant ways. The second test, the first one there was from 13. The second test in Deuteronomy 18 is that if the prophet says something is going to come to pass and it doesn't, then he's a false prophet, even once. We have many false prophecies that follow Joseph Smith and other early leaders of the Mormon Church, right up through the whole history of Mormonism. At one point, God says polygamy is an eternal covenant. At another point, he says, okay, no more earthly polygamy, so Utah can become a state. Well, I guess God didn't put that part in about Utah becoming a state, but that was the occasion. So that an angel may or may not have appeared to Joseph Smith is not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is, was this an angel representing the God who proved himself over and over again in the Old and New Testament? Or was he an angel or a figment of Joseph's imagination or delusion on his part that actually presented false teaching?
So you are willing to, at least for conversation's sake, concede that it may have been an angelic being, not necessarily a good angel, as we would say in the common parlance, but in fact an evil angel, indeed giving revelation, but not from God.
At least for the purposes of conversation, yes. Now, if you look into Joseph Smith's early life up to, through, and including this time period and into the early years of the Mormon Church, he was known in his whole neighborhood of upstate New York, where he spent most of his older childhood, for being a tale teller, for being a storyteller, for being, frankly, a liar. So I think it's far more likely that he invented or imagined or created the story. That certainly would explain all the differences in the stories over the, you know, the recitation of the story over years, too. But, you know, fine. I'll give you the argument. Maybe he had some sort of a supernatural occurrence, but he should have tested it against the sure word of God and known that it was a false vision or a false revelation, not a true one.
Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn is our guest, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what is alleged by Joseph Smith some decades after he said it happened, and in a story that often changed radically on this day, I'm sorry, on yesterday, 187 years ago. We'll be right back.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 187 years ago, yesterday, September 21st, or so it is claimed, Joseph Smith had an angelic visitation in upstate New York. Not just that, but also the delivery of the Book of Mormon that, well, oddly enough, at least in terms of, if you want to just go by the regular rules of evidence, is practically non-existent. It does the golden plates are no longer here. The people who said they saw the plates would later say, no, I saw Joseph with something that he said was the plates. And, of course, then there's the changing story of Joseph Smith. We're examining some of those claims and comparing them, actually, to the truth claims of Christianity with Gretchen Passantino Coburn. Gretchen, the key event for, as you mentioned before the break, the key event for Christianity, kind of the event, if it didn't happen, then it's not worth believing, the falsifiability for Christianity is, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The key event, and I think it's a fair comparison, I really do, for Mormonism is the claim that there was a new revelation given Joseph Smith by an angel from God. Let's compare it in terms of how the story is told. You said its consistency over time, but also the eyewitnesses.
Yes, those two stories are so completely different as to their credibility, their historicity, their documentation, and even the witness of hostile witnesses, that it really is, it's almost absurd to compare them. Joseph Smith was a known liar and a storyteller. The disciples of Jesus and Jesus himself were known as truth tellers, and what they did in the open. Nothing was done secretly or behind closed doors that required, you know, belief in Christianity. Certainly, Jesus spent time with his disciples behind closed doors, but his message was very clear and open. Joseph Smith was actually looking for religious involvement in various ways through the period of his late teenage years and early 20 years, although later the story was standardized to say that at some point God actually appeared to him and told him not to join any of the denominations. But that wasn't a problem for him beforehand. Jesus, on the other hand, he was prophesied before he even came by the Old Testament prophets. He himself prophesied his death, burial, and resurrection, and that death, burial, and resurrection took place in public. It was verifiable. There was evidence. You know, I'm teaching an apologetics class on Sunday nights right now in the book of Acts, and last night we were looking at the different passages in Luke where Paul or Peter or one of the other apostles challenges the hostile audience, whether they're Jews who don't believe in Jesus or whether they're Gentiles, to check the evidence. He tells a king, this wasn't done in a corner. You're aware of these things. Peter tells the crowd in Acts chapter 2, you all know that this happened, that the tomb is empty. That message, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the best attested fact of ancient history that we have, bar none. Whether you talk about Caesar crossing the Rubicon, or the lists of the Caesars in order, or the killing of Caesar by Brutus, all of those ancient events we have very little evidence for, either documentary or contemporary. But for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have huge documentary and evidentiary evidence to prove that the only reasonable conclusion, without presupposing that miracles can't happen and that God doesn't exist, is that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, that his death, burial, and resurrection were established and are established facts of history, and he is the Savior of the world. Joseph Smith, the angel Moroni, the supposedly God the Father and Jesus Christ, two separate gods appeared to Joseph Smith at some time, Joseph Smith's successor, Brigham Young. All of their stories are inconsistent. None of them are well documented. Many of them are actually refuted by the documentation and the evidence of the time period. And many of the stories changed over time, just like this first vision, the appearance of the ancient angel Moroni. Just before the break, you said it was the anniversary today, and they said, oh, excuse me, yesterday. Well, you were right either way. Depends on which version. Was it the 21st of September or the 22nd of September? Depends on who, which time period in Mormon history you look at.
So finally, with only about a minute here, Gretchen, what difference does it make? Why would some would say, look, it's religious belief. All religious belief is faith in something that can't be seen or proven. So the Mormons have their claims. The Christians have their claims. What difference does it make? How would you respond with about a minute here?
I was talking to someone just a few minutes before the show who had spent some time as a teenager as a Mormon. And I asked him, just because I happened to have him available and knew the show was coming up, why did you join? And he said, because everybody else was doing it. And I said, why did you leave? And he said, because it had nothing to offer, and Jesus had everything to offer. And that's what I would leave your listeners with. Jesus has everything to offer. He is the Son of God. He died, was buried, and rose from the dead. It's a verifiable fact. You want a burning in your bosom that can be confirmed, that is actually evidential, that can be proved? Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.
Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. You can find out more about Answers in Action under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Gretchen, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you for standing for Jesus.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Professor Stephen Parks about Eastern Orthodoxy. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is a great Bible commentary written by a regular guest here on the program, Dr. Andrew Doss. He is probably, I've heard tell, one of the smartest Lutheran scholars out there. Most certainly it's proven in the pages of his commentary on the Book of Galatians in the Concordia Commentary series. This is one of those kind of commentaries that not only your pastor but you would do well to have on your shelf. Yes, it does rise to the level of a scholarly commentary. There will be stuff in there that, as a layperson, you'll say, well, I don't know the Greek, but I will take his word for it. And then there's many things in there that you will find fascinating. He does a great job of explaining at both a scholarly and a, well, a layperson's level what it is Paul is saying in the words inspired by the Holy Spirit in the book of Galatians. You can find out more about this great commentary from the Concordia Commentary Series by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Ask them for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Galatians. You can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Remember, tomorrow we're going to be talking about Eastern Orthodoxy. Professor Stephen Parks will be our guest. The truth of the resurrection will stand the test against any other truth claim because it actually did happen. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.